can't understand life apart from a beginning. So we really kind of put that on God. Well, since we have a beginning, God has to have a beginning. Well, no, God doesn't have to have a beginning. God is different than we are. And so we're going to talk about beginnings. But when you think of the other Gospels, and again, the focus on Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done, the book of Matthew connects Jesus to Abraham. You go back and you look in the genealogy there, and Matthew is connecting Jesus to he is a son of Abraham. And who was Abraham? Abraham's the father of the Jewish people. He was the one that God singled out. And so saying that the Messiah is connected to Abraham, Jesus is Jewish. That's what the writer is saying, connecting. And then the book of Mark connects Jesus not really to any other genealogy. He starts out by saying in the beginning that this Jesus is a servant. And he's a servant from Nazareth, a place not known, not famous, but this promised Messiah is a servant. And we see that through the book of Mark. The book of Mark focuses a lot on Jesus' deeds, not so much his words. There are words in there, but it's a lot of his deeds. And so then the Luke, he connects the genealogy of Jesus not to Abraham. He goes back even further. He goes back to Adam. And so the point that he's making is that this Jesus Christ is a son of Adam. He's a human being. He added humanity. But the good news is that he's not like the first Adam, because the first Adam blew it big time. But this Jesus is the Adam who was perfect and did it right all the time. But he connects it to him. And so the Gospel of John is really one of the late, it is the latest gospel, really written at the end of the first century. And so John fills in a lot of the blanks. John's gospel focuses a lot on Jesus' words. A lot of times you're reading through John, you're like, what are you talking about? I don't get this. And that's just part of what he's saying. And so how does John portray Jesus? And again, he fills in the blank. Doesn't connect him to Abraham. Doesn't connect him as a servant. Doesn't connect him to Adam. But what does he do? He starts with heaven. He fills in the missing piece that this Jesus Christ came from heaven. And who's the only person that can come from heaven? God. God is the only person who can leave the riches and the perfection of heaven and come and walk on this planet. And so that's how John starts out his gospel. Look at these first couple words. Let's look at the first couple words here in John chapter 1. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And so in these couple verses here, he packs a lot in. That first line, in the beginning, and some of you are probably saying, wow, the beginning of this book kind of starts with the same words. And we're gonna get there in a minute. That's how the Bible starts. In the beginning, God. Very good, Matt. Thanks for being awake. And so John starts out here as a reminder, and he's making a connection. He's making a connection to creation. He's making a connection to the living God of the universe. And so that's why he says that, in the beginning. And then he gives another name. God has so many names through the Bible. That would be an interesting study sometime that we could do. All the different names of God, all the names of Jesus Christ. He has a ton of names. And so we're given another name here. The name, the Word. And I remember, I grew up in the church. I remember hearing this from pastors at the time, thinking, what does that mean? Word. Who would be called word? You know, I mean, in college, that was one of the phrases that our friends would use. Word, brother, word. You know, I don't know. I'm kind of dating myself here, I guess. But word. What is words? And you know, this is a name, and a name of the living God of the universe. And again, every one of us in this room, we use words. We either say words, we text words, we listen to words. Words are how we communicate. It's how we let people know what's going on in our heart and mind. Without words, you'll never let anybody in. Words are how we reveal ourselves. We let people know what's going on. And so God is saying here that Jesus Christ is the Word. He's the revelation of God. He makes him known to us. And so then he describes here, look in verse 1, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So a lot of times we kind of glance over, and he's basically saying the Word is a person, and God is a person. He's saying these two people, and again, the Gospel of John is going to carry this through. One of the things when you hear Jesus talking about, he's always talking about my Father, my Father, my Father. I came to do the will of my Father. I'm here to bring glory to him. It's always about that relationship between God the Father and God the Son. They are both God, and John is helping us understand that because he walked with Jesus and saw him and listened to him. And that's why he says here, the Word was with God. Jesus Christ was with God. And then if you don't get it, he describes in the next phrase, and the Word was God. Exactly. This Word, this person that he's talking about, isn't just a human being, isn't just some religious person. He is God. He is God. And John is helping us see that, yes, Jesus is a son of Abraham. Yes, Mark is helping us see that Jesus is a servant. Yes. Luke is helping us see that he is a son of Adam, but he is more than those three qualities. That Jesus Christ is divine. He is God. He is more than a human being. And I think everyone who believes that Jesus exists would believe that he's a human being because he came into this world. But the few believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. Maybe a good teacher. Maybe a prophet, maybe he did miraculous things, but few would acknowledge that Jesus Christ is divine. And that's what John, the gospel writer here, is helping us understand, that he was more than just flesh and blood. And so John kind of goes back and forth and describes here. And so look what he says in verse 2. Again, he's describing the Word. He's describing the relationship between the Father and the Son. And he's going back to the beginning here. And if you didn't get it in those first one, he says it again. He repeats it. Why does he repeat it? Again, he repeats it because we have thick heads. We need to understand what he's saying. And so he says in verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. So if you missed it, that the Word, Jesus Christ, is God. He is divine. He was there at creation. That's what he says next. Look in verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So those are two parallel thoughts. The first one is the simple person. I like the first one. What does he say? I'm kind of simple, I think. All things were made through him. You get that? So look around. What do you see? Everything you see, we could go through. He made the poinsettias. He made the cars. He made you. He made me. He has created everything. Those of you who are a little more philosophical might like the second line here. Try to wrap your head around this. He says, and without him was not anything made that was made. So think about that one this afternoon if you're trying to fall asleep. You know, it's kind of like, what is he saying? And he's basically just saying, God made everything. Jesus made everything. That's what he's saying. That's the point that he's making here. He is the source. He is the one who created it. And so then he goes on, verse 4, to describe in him, again, he's talking about the word here. He's talking about Jesus Christ here, was life. And the life was the light of men. There is no life without him. Life doesn't exist. So we tend to start with ourselves, and I'm alive, and I'm moving, and I'm talking to people, and so, yeah, I have life. And we think it comes from ourselves. But the truth is, the fact that, how do we know that God exists and he's real? It's because I'm able to talk to you right now. And that's what he's saying here. Life is in him, in Jesus Christ, in God himself. He's the one who is the source of life. He imparts it to everything that we see here. It doesn't just happen. God provides it. And that life is sourced in Christ. And that's what he's saying here. The life was the light of men. Again, we looked at this a couple weeks ago, that Jesus is the light of the world. And what does that mean? It's more than just physical. It's not telling you that Jesus is the physical light. He's saying here that he's the one who reveals who God is. He's the Holy One. He's the one who shows us what life is all about. And that we would walk in the light and see who he is. So look down in verse 14. Here he describes it, or he gives more description about the Word. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the manger scene. John puts that whole manger thing in one line. If you want more detail, go to Matthew. You want more detail, go to Luke. How it happened, but what he's saying here is that the Word, Jesus Christ, God the Son, became flesh. And so that's the only thing, in a sense, that has a beginning in God. God did the unthinkable. He, the eternal one, the invisible God of the universe, added humanity. He added flesh and blood to himself and to walk among this earth like all of us so that he could experience it, so that he could show us who he is. And so the point that John's making here is that Jesus Christ, the one that you know when he was born in a manger, he was here since the beginning. He was at the beginning. He was there. Flip over to John chapter 17. Look at one verse here. This is Jesus' prayer before he goes to the cross. So how does John know what to write? Well, he just listened to what Jesus said. John 17, verse 5 says this, and this is Jesus' prayer. What does he say? And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. And so here Jesus is saying that I was there in the beginning. I was there at creation because Jesus Christ is more than a human being. He is divine. And as John says here, he created the world. And so flip back to Genesis chapter 1. I'm sure most of you know this passage. We're just going to read a couple verses just as a reminder to make the connection of what Jesus said there. He was there at the beginning. He was there before anything was made. The Father and the Son. And not only the Father and the Son, but also the Holy Spirit. Some of you are like, man, I'm really confused now. Yes, very confusing. That God is three persons, but one God. We can't fit that together in our little brains because it doesn't make full sense. How in the world could God be three persons and yet one God? That's one of the mysteries of who God is. We can try to understand it more. We can come up with all kinds of illustrations. But the bottom line is, we're left at a loss for words because we can't fully understand it. And so we see here in Genesis chapter 1, we see the Godhead. In the beginning, verse 1, God created the heavens. And again, we would say God there being the Father. And the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, there again, was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And so what do we see here? We see that Jesus Christ, that God the Son, is there at creation. And again, I know as I read through that, it's like, well, I still don't really see how is Jesus there. We just have to listen to what God has revealed in all of his words. That Jesus said he was there, and so he was present there. He was there. And so whether he took thousands of years to create everything that we see, whether he took millions of years to create everything we see, whether he took billions of years, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the process. What we know is that God himself, Jesus Christ, is the creator of everything that we see. However he did it. And so he is God. So let's look back to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to look at two other passages. This is another one. Hebrews chapter 1. And so this is another perspective. And just like hindsight is 20/20, right? The further we get away from circumstances or situations at times, sometimes we have more insight to see what is going on. And so we see that even in the scriptures, that, hey, the further that you get from Jesus going back to heaven, you know, the apostles are writing and giving us new insights and helping us see, oh, that's what God was doing. And you can't see everything that's right before you at times. And so the writer of Hebrews here is giving us another one of those broad brushstrokes. And so each of these passages, Genesis 1, John 1, and Hebrews 1, are all affirming and saying the same thing, that Jesus Christ, God the Son, is divine. He is God in the flesh. And what all was he doing? And so the writer of Hebrews gives a couple insights here as well. Listen to what he says. Verse 1, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets." Many of you this year have read through the what are the prophetic books? Some of them. What are the long ones? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah. Those are the big ones, and then you got smaller ones. And so the point he's saying is that God was revealing himself through the prophets. They were always about Jesus Christ. Verse 2, "But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his
Son. This is God the Son. This is the divine one. This is the one that was there at creation, whom he appointed the heir of all things. He says it again here, through whom also he created the world. Who created the world? Jesus Christ did. God did. The Holy Spirit. You can say all of them. They're all right answers. You get a God created the world. And so verse 3, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Here's another insight. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. What is one of the things that Christ is doing right now? And Colossians, you can go back to Colossians 1, would affirm this. What is Jesus doing right now? He is upholding the universe. You want to know why science works? It's not because science is great. Yes, science has great things. Science works because there's a living God of the universe who is upholding everything that we see. He is the source of life. And we could spend all day talking about what are the connections of what that is, but he, again, God is saying that this comes back to God the Son who is upholding the universe. Well, if that wasn't enough, look what he says next. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And so he didn't just come to create, but he also came to purify. He came to take the sin of the world, to pay for it, and then to go back to heaven. And he's seated in victory. And again, we know that, hey, as that relates to here, yeah, there's still a lot of harsh things going on in the world. And so by faith, we recognize and we believe that he is going to return one day. He's going to show back up. He's going to come back to this world. And when he comes the next time, he won't be veiled as a servant. He won't be misunderstood. He won't be neglected. Everybody will see him and will clearly know he is who he has been all along. And so as I was reading through the book of Revelation in the last week, this stood out to me. Let's look at one last verse here, Revelation 19. I thought it was interesting, and this name, the Word, is one of the ways that he will reveal himself at the end. Revelation 19. Look in verse 11. It says, then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is, what does he say? The Word of God. The Word of God. And so when he finishes what he started out to do, and that is judge Satan and sin and death and all that follow them, he will be known as the Word of God. The revelation of God, that God speaks through him. You can't know God apart from Jesus Christ. And that's the amazing thing, that yes, we remember that he was a baby put in a cattle trough. But yet when Mary and Joseph and they looked at him, I'm sure they didn't fully understand, but they knew something was unique. And yet those little hands were the ones that created the universe. and upholds the universe. Because Jesus Christ is divine. He is God. And that's why we worship him. And that should direct everything that we do, everything we think about, everywhere that we go. Let's let that direct us this week. And again, if we're all being honest, we're going to have moments of, we're going to forget that. We're going to allow the pressures of the moment. We're going to allow, oh, I didn't do this, or that's happening. It's real easy to forget that point. But we know the Word of God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and I'll pray, and this is a one-way street, so I'll come down so they can come up, which is a good thing. Let me pray. God, we just want to say thank you. God, and hopefully we just got a little bit more insight, just maybe a new nuance, a reminder of your greatness. God, all of our questions you're not afraid of. God, I'm sure we have questions sitting here. You invite us to bring our questions to you, to bring our questions to your word. Because you want us to know you. You want us to understand you. And you never deter us from a hunger for you. And so, Father, we just we thank you and praise you, Lord. Help us to worship you because you are the living God of the universe. God, we love you and we praise you. And in your name, amen. Why don't we stand up?